I'll call your attention to the book of Acts, the third chapter, and a few of the following verses. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Our subject, precious gifts from penniless givers. Precious gifts from penniless givers. I'm going to ask that you pray for me and pray with me. A sincere gift carries with it a part of the giver. It is an expression of the soul's sentiment and esteem. It speaks a language that words are too gross a medium to express. It is in the highest sense a part of man's likeness of God, his maker. Giving is a part of man's nature. He will either give good or bad, and sometime both. But a good man or a good woman giveth good gifts. The whole system of Christianity can be expressed in two words. And those two words are living and giving. I said living and giving. In the third chapter of the book of Acts, we have here a most impressive story and lesson in the fine art of soulful giving. Dr. Luke gives a striking word picture of Peter and John going to a prayer meeting. Going to a prayer meeting. What an amazing record can be produced and has been accomplished through prayer meetings. For prayer is the key, and faith unlocks the door. Beloveds, prayer will do when other things fail. Prayer will pick you up when you're falling down. Prayer will make your hilly ways level. Prayer will make your crooked ways straight. Prayer will make your enemies leave you alone. Prayer is necessary. To Enoch, if you don't mind it, prayer was a long walk. To Methuselah, prayer was long living. To Noah, prayer was long labor. To Isaac, prayer was long well digging. To Abraham, prayer was long faith. To Jacob, prayer was a long wrestling match. To Joseph, prayer was a long dungeon sentence. Yes. To Judah, prayer was a long wait for Shiloh. Yes. To Moses, prayer was a blank check on heaven's saving bank account. Yes. To Joshua, prayer was a march around the walls until the walls came tumbling down. Yes. To Caleb, prayer was youth at 85. To Elijah, prayer was heavenly fire coming down. Yeah. To Job, prayer was a wait until his change came. Yeah. To David, the little shepherd boy, prayer was a rock, a rod, and a staff. Yeah. To Solomon, prayer was a dew on Sharon's rose. Yeah. To Isaiah, prayer was fire on his lips. Yeah. To Jeremiah, it was fire shut up in his bones. Yeah. To Daniel, prayer was revealing a stone rolling. Yeah. To Joshua and to Ezekiel, prayer was a lifting over a valley of dry bones. Yeah. To Peter, James, and John, and Paul, prayer was consolation in trials and assurance in distress. Yeah. I don't believe you're praying with me. Listen, if you please. Number one, they went up. The children of God, his pilgrim saints, always go up. The church moves onward and upward. And another thing they did, they went up together. I heard somebody say the other day that what the world needs today is more togetherness. We are too separate in our everyday lives. Some families need to come together. Children need to get together with the parents. The church, sad as it seems, is one of the most far away things. For we have more separation in the church of God than some gamblers have in the street. We always have a little group here and a little group there. A syndicate bunch and a syndicate bunch over here. When I think that God's people ought to come together and get on one accord. The servants, we claim to be a servant, but most of us want to be masters. But listen, the servants of God must work together with each other and together with God. Now, they went into the temple, God's house. All should go up to God's house. I heard the psalmist say, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I don't believe you're praying with me today. I remember this. It says, there is a hallowed place that shall remain dear to me as I stroll back down memory lane. There where I first heard the preaching of his word and my sinful soul stirred. When I met God in the church by the side of the road. Amen. 'Twas an old-fashioned church, just a quaint old-fashioned church. 'Twas an old rugged church by the side of the road. The heavenly light there did shine with gladness divine. And I can say today that Christ is mine since I met God in the church by the side of the road. They went at prayer time. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, being about the ninth hour. It was not a time for a sermon. It was not a time for a concert. It was not a time for a fashion show. It was not a time for a financial drive. It was not a time even of a funeral. There was no admission. If it had been even a dime at the door, Peter and John would have both been turned away. Are you praying with me? For the reason I know, they would have been turned away by their own confession. For they said that silver and gold have we none. Thank God there was no admission. It was an hour of prayer. And you know, you don't have to pay to pray. If you don't have a dime, God will say, this child is mine. And you don't have to go to church to pray. I believe you ought to pray on your job. I believe you ought to pray in your home. You ought to put God first, for he said, seek ye the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be added. Many of us fail to pray. We work all day long. Some of us have some dangerous jobs. And then God watches over us and takes care of us. And then when we come down the dangerous streets and make it safe home and find our families well and find our children healthy, we don't have enough God in us to say, thank you, sir, for taking care of me. We go to bed and then sleep all night long and then get up in the morning and have the activities of our limbs and sat down at the table without saying, much obliged for watching over me all night long. They went to prayer meeting. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Savior's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. What did they see when they got there? They saw a lame man. Peter and John invited him to look on them at the gate. He was an unknown beggar. Some words to say, a nobody. But God designed that he should become a somebody through his servants. Which tells me that folk that you think are nobody can be somebody. Isn't that right? They had no money, but such as they had, they were willing to give it. They gave him assurance. They gave him courage. They gave him a lift. The greatest gifts are not material gifts. The gift of giving is God giving. Everything that is God made and God given gives in return. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about. God made the Son, and the Son gives in return. Isn't that right? God made the moon and it gives. God made the stars and they give. God made the air and it gives. God made the clouds and they give. God made the earth and the earth gives. Am I right there? God made the sea and the sea gives. God made the trees and they give. God made the grass and the grass gives. God made the little flowers and they give. God made the humming bees and they give. God made the fowl of the air and they give. God made the beasts and they give. But who? I said, who then should give most of all? God made man. And the question is being asked today, what is man giving? Man, God made man after his own likeness and his own image. Man is a little part of God. And God is always giving, but man is so slow to give in return. We want to give God just a little of our time. But I stop by to tell you, our God is a jealous God. He wants all or nothing at all.